Well, good morning. Just put my eyes on. For those of us that have been here a long time, and for those that are here relatively newly, we've maintained a theme. In the church, right from the beginning of the year that John introduced us. And it's been around our relationship with the Holy Spirit. And I've really enjoyed it, the times that I've been in. And I'm going to stay there this morning and have some reflections. Rachel rightly last week talked, because last week in the church calendar was Pentecost, and we talk about it as the birthday of the church. Incidentally, Rachel, I will be longer than 10 seconds. Sorry. if you weren't here last week, just talk to Rachel. And of course, that we find that in the book of Acts. And it's all there, it's recorded, and for those of us that are familiar with Bible teaching, we absorb it and we accept it. But it's important for us, and this has been the theme really throughout the year, that we kind of reboot, we refresh our thinking about what God is saying to us here. Rebooting is now part of our lives, isn't it? I was grateful for my son last night, because my car last week had gone in for a service, and particularly to do with my dashboard. And in my day when I grew up, a dashboard told me how much fuel I got. It told me how hot the temperature was and what speed I was going. Now the thing could send a spaceship to the moon. And of course, it's crashed. And all kinds of things have gone wrong. And they rebooted it, but they couldn't get didn't have time to do my phone link with it. And anyway, thanks be to God. That's what sons are for. He rebooted, and we're up and running with my Apple CarPlay. So here we are, and our heart is for all of us, whether you've heard this before or not. We want to reboot. We want to inspire and encourage us all, including myself, to reacquaint ourselves with the person that we know as Holy Spirit. And that's so important to us. I want to speak this morning particularly about a theme that, if the early church is deemed to have been born and the birthday, then things that are born are intended to grow. And we are born to grow. Let me illustrate for a moment with you, and a picture should come up. And there we are. If anybody is kind of interested, that picture is 74 years old. And isn't he gorgeous? What a disappointment. here's the reality. It's me. The eyes in the baby are these eyes. The nose is this nose. Those ears, there they are. They're still there. The heart that's beating, thanks be to God, is still beating. And one could say, which one is John Pettifer? And the answer is, both are. But I've changed. I've grown. And the fact is this, that in life, I've become different. And the reality for every one of us is that you can take it off. As in the natural, so in the spiritual. My relationship with the Holy Spirit is not intended, and I've got it in a little book somewhere. I can't remember, I'm not good at dates, but I was 7 years of age when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I've got a little certificate that the church gave me, noting the fact, and it's all very nice, but it's all very nostalgic, but it's not very relevant. What is relevant is that this question has to be asked, well done, John, has to be asked, since I entered into my relationship with the Holy Spirit, have I grown? Have I become different? Here's a phrase that's not written by a Christian, but it succinctly, here's my 10-second preach. Healthy things grow and growing things change. And changing things change things. Bit of a mouthful, but get it. Because that's the whole, that is Acts 1, the Great Commission. That as we receive him, and cry, behold, I am with you always, you will, and I am going to change you, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Healthy things in Christ grow, and growing things we change personally, and as we change personally, and changing things change things. Wow. And so we're not allowed. We are allowed the comfort of meeting together on a Sunday morning, loving one another, worshiping God, engaging. But this church is not church. This is our day off. It's your holiday. It's the day when we fulfill some obligations of the scriptures that are good for us, in order that the change that we bring about through the Holy Spirit, by the word of God, by encouragement to one another, we are changed. And as we are changed, we change things. We are born to grow. Now, the lovely thing is, thanks be to God, that little baby was born healthily and well. And we understand that the implications of natural birth. And we are wonderfully, fantastically born again of the Holy Spirit in a remarkably healthy way. There's no resuscitation work needed when God gets to work on your life. There's no incubator needed when God gets to work on your life, if we let him do what he really wants to do. Acts 1, verse 8, he says this. He says, and here's the promise of Jesus, but you will receive power. That word power there means ability. It means outside of yourself. When you come to Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit, he immediately takes the pressure off. You haven't got to change. Something will come into you that will change you. And you will receive power, the ability in yourself, and you will be, and here it is, the Great Commission. A more specific statement is found in Luke, and this just, I'm going to kind of stretch you a little bit about occasions when the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes. Do you know the first reference to the baptism in the Holy Spirit in the Bible? It's Genesis 1. No, it's Acts 2. No, it's Genesis 1. And God formed man, and he breathed his spirit into him, and he became a living being. Right from the beginning, you were planned and made to be filled and live in relationship with the Spirit of God. And Luke chapter 3, verse 22, we find the baptism of the Holy Spirit experienced by Jesus. Now, we can have all kinds of theological da-da-da now, and Ben and I would have a good chinwag about that. But the simple fact is, for the purposes of his ministry on earth, the God who became man needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, it says, verse 22 of Luke 3, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice from heaven said these words, you are my son whom I love, with you I am well pleased. I with all my heart, I believe that the Father God says exactly the same things to us when we receive the Holy Spirit as the Father said to Jesus. So here we've got a lifetime of disappointment, a lifetime of tough experiences. Some of you, your lifetime of bad parenting, of unfulfilled love, and all the things that go to undermine us. And we go back to the basics, the foundations of our Christian lives, and we find that we are birthed in incredible love and affirmation. He says, you are my son. The language just sweeps over us, but to the Eastern mind, to a 30-year-old man who was getting baptized, this was an incredible statement. Because right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, the first question that was asked of him, is this not Joseph's son? And God the Father, through the coming of the Holy Spirit, says, he is Joseph's son, but more importantly, he's my son. And whatever you've experienced in your life, my dear friends, I want to tell you, by the power of the Holy Spirit that lives within you, there is a voice from heaven that says, you are my son, you are my daughter. I am happy and blessed to be the son of Albert and Peggy. And I thank God that my natural heritage was a lovely one. And God bless my parents. They were fantastic parents, but not everybody has that. But proud though I am to be the son of Albert and Peggy, even more my security is in that Father God has said, you are my son. It brings amazing affirmation into my life, not of my own merit, but because I believe that God, by his Spirit, has said that to me. He then says to him, whom I love, because not every father loves their sons and daughters. But and it speaks here not only of affirmation, but it speaks of acceptance. God is saying here, more than a functional position, he's begotten of God, which he was, that is a perfunctionary father. His semen has entered in and a child has been born. He says, no, he's not saying that at all. He's talking here about relationships, and time doesn't permit us to go into the language of the word Abba, but it's the understanding that God is not merely the progenitor of our lives, but he is the relational, loving father of our lives. There's intimacy. And so not only is he our father, but not only as God is our father, but God the Father, who passionately loves us, is our father. I listened to Philip Schofield's interview on the Beeb. I'm not a great lover of the media. I have severe concerns about celebrity, how it's idolized. But my heart went out to the man. I'm not condoning his lifestyle or his behavior, but there was something that came out of his very inner being that said, nobody loves me. the utter sense of rejection. And I thought, oh my, I prayed for him there and then. I thought, oh God, may he have a revelation that God, through his son, has redeemed him, can restore him, and bring him into a place of acceptance and fulfillment in his life. There's hope for people like him yet today. In a cruel society that elevates and destroys, he is redeemable. And that, I'm not making any comment about lifestyle. It's purely from the position of God. You are my son. He's affirmed. Whom I love, we're accepted. And then God says this, with you I am well pleased. In other words, he gives approval. The little Greek word here, eudikeo, it means that I think good and positive about you. And here's the amazing thing. The Father God said that to Jesus before he'd done a thing. His ministry hadn't begun. He'd not preached. He'd not healed anybody. He'd not called any disciples. His ministry began at the age of 30. There's a fascinating passage in Luke 2 about his early years. But apart from that, it's silent. This is the moment where, if I stretch it a little bit, this is the moment when Jesus becomes a Christian. He formally enters into relationship with his Father God for his purpose on earth. And before he begins, God says, I'm pleased with you. I've got a CV. And it's full of failures. It's full of failed exams. It's full of traffic violations, one of which I paid last week. Thanks be to God, I didn't lose any points. I've got a list of things that I've done wrong. And I'm not a criminal, but basically failure is part and parcel of our lives. And the enemy wants to use that failure to rob us of our confidence of who we are. But I need you to know, my dear friends, that when the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, he says, not only do I love you, not only am I his son, but God is pleased with the person that he plans us to be. He doesn't want you to be me. He doesn't want you to be anybody else. He's pleased with the thought of you being you. This is the glory of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And so how do we anchor all this and say, well, because that's the faith bit. That's the reality of what being baptized in the Holy Spirit really means. And if anybody's worried, yeah, I do speak in tongues, and I'm glad that I do. But Holy Spirit is far more than some supernatural language. It is entering in, and it's the effects of a relationship with the Spirit of God. So, in the flow of where I'm going, just a few practical ideas for you. First steps to growth. Because the baby in the picture, I'm here for a cuddle, girls, if you want to come and pick me up afterwards, but I need you to know that the baby, within half an hour, needed his nappy changing. That's what it's like. We're not rushing forward. I can see I'm not going to get much response to this. Even my wife don't like the idea. But I was picked out of the pram. I was given little toys. And I didn't know it, but I was being encouraged to grow. It was messy. down it went and out it came. But it all messy, but it's essential for growth. And here's the tough cut, which you always expect from me at some stage in my preaching. With our belief, you've got to own the fact that God has got a plan for your life. It's more than a hallelujah. It's more than that's nice. It's actually the steps of faith that say, I'm going to do something about it. To Peter, he grabs hold of it quite clearly. 2 Peter 3 verse 18. He says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now. It's a command. So it's one of these nice little phrases that say to the glory of Jesus, which we all say, but it's an injunction. Grow in the grace. It's a good debate because we've got grace to grow, but we grow in the grace. So how did the infant church apply this? How did it do it? So last few comments. Acts 2, 42, another one, famous passages. And the key word here is this little word, devoted. They devoted themselves. It means focused. It means prioritized. It means developing habits. It's continual practice until it becomes natural. The sociologists tell us that if we perform the same act for 30 days, after 30 days, we won't have to think about it, we'll do it. It's what a habit, forming a habit, becomes a routine. And he says, grow in grace. So how did they do that? They devoted. And he says four things, and I'm not apologizing this because I still think these are the wisdom of God. He says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. You'd expect it of Ben and myself, but it's not because of the gifts that God has given Ben and myself. It's because of our utter persuasion of the power of the Word of God in our lives. And we've said this so many times. We have our preferences for food, and we can have a good debate about that. But the true essence of food is that it is nutritional. I won't live without food. I'm made to feed. And I won't survive without it. And the Word of God is food. You don't need to study it like Ben. You don't need to think, well, I'm never going to be a preacher or a teacher. That's got nothing to do with it. That's the unique calling and gift that God has given to people who are leaders. But as a Christian, I need the Word of God to feed. And I'll bring it out again, and without apology, I don't want to offend. If you do not read your Bible daily, you will suffer malnutrition. Now, is that back to Moses and legalism? No. And is the circumstances in which you don't have half an hour to sit and read the Bible on a day? Yes, of course there are. But the principle of saying, I'll find time for your word, Lord, nothing to do with whether you understand it, nothing to do with what version it is, but simply to do with your faith that imbibing the word of God will develop you. It is they committed themselves. It's not inconsistent that the great people movement in the old covenant that equates to the birth of the early church was when God appointed Joshua to lead the people into the promised land and to take out their enemies and to bring the kingdom of God. The first thing that God says to Joshua, to himself and to the people, do not let the word of God depart from you. Stick with the word. So it's there. And I don't want to rant, but I do want to be insistent in love and grace. The second thing that he says to them, the apostle, and continue into the life of the church. Can you put the next verse up, Tina? Verse 43. and 44. Is that possible, please? And he says, be part of the life of the church. And for those of you that are visiting, it's lovely to see you and you're welcome. The principle that I'm talking about is not this place. If you're inquiring about Jesus, then you've come to a good place and we'll happily talk and engage with you. If you come in just think, well, this is a random clear Sunday, I'm coming along, great. But my encouragement is belong. If you don't belong here, belong somewhere. And keep going. 40, keep going, Tina, till we get to what they did. And they the apostles' teaching, they in other words, that the life in the church was that they joined rather than visited. So question, are you a member of a body, of a family, or are you a visitor? And you do understand that you can come every week and still be a visitor. That's the harsh truth. But there is a reality also that says that you are my brothers and my sisters. Now, in the day that I was brought up, everybody, and I was that old, and I was Brother John. I mean, how cheesy can you get? The stupid religiosity of that kind of language. But behind it, there's a truth. We are family. And we commit ourselves because it's a good family. It's not a perfect family, but it's got a good father. And all that stuff that we've talked about puts it into our lives. We apply the teaching. We live the life of the church. And then it says they broke bread. We'll find it another time. And they broke bread together. Now, the key thing here is not some religious ceremonial that we call communion, important though that is. The emphasis was it was in their homes. So, okay, yeah, there we are. They continued to meet together in temple and they broke bread in their homes and ate together. And it speaks of, the third thing it speaks of, in their homes. Now, it doesn't mean Costa doesn't count. It doesn't mean the pub doesn't count. But it does mean that they spent time with each other outside of the formal meetings. Because here's the reality, church. When you are with me, I do you good. Now, you may not like that, but I'm good for you. And what is absolutely true, and I do appreciate this, when I meet you, you are good for me. We're gloriously different, and nobody wants us to be the same, but there's something that takes place in the Holy Spirit, this thing called koinonia, fellowship, which is more than just the fun and the unity of when we sit together in church. It's doing life together that we find. It doesn't mean we can't have our hobbies. It doesn't mean we haven't got our devotion to our natural families. We've got our work situations. It's all that kind of stuff. But don't neglect doing life together. And fourth and finally, it says they devoted themselves to prayer. And the language here, again, is not prayer meetings. And thank God for prayer meetings. Let's be old-fashioned enough to say there are times when we should call the church together for prayer. John's committed to the team and the body of people that are praying for the city on a regular basis. In the network, we hold prayer times. And we call ourselves to prayer and to seek God at appropriate moments. And those seasons come and they change. But the commitment actually is constantly being in connection with God. It's along with reading the Word of God. I want to read the Word of God, not out of duty, but I want to read the Word of God and say, Lord, what are you saying to me? Because I'm listening. So many people I've heard over the years say, I wish God would speak to me. And the real answer is, I wish they'd listen. Because God is speaking. And through his word, through fellowship, through the life of the church, and through prayer, moment by moment, the Spirit comes to us. Well, that will do for this morning. A bit more than 10 seconds. Put the phrase back up, Tina, please. I, man and boy, these 74 years I've been part of church. I've got bags of evidence to trash it. I've seen hundreds of cases where we've got it wrong. We're not that supreme that we're not subject to criticism by people who don't know us. But I need you to know that it's the greatest body of people on the earth. The Church of Jesus Christ is his plan and purpose to change the world. And it begins with me. It begins with a relationship with that Holy Spirit that touches my life, and I'm not that 74 years ago baby in the pram, which is all touchy-feely and lovely and cuddly, but actually grows to produce fruit. Healthy things grow, and growing things change, and changing things change things. Let's get on with it. God bless.